We praise God for our men's chorus. Thank you, brothers. I want to read a passage from 1 Samuel chapter 2, 18 through 21, and verse 26 from the New International Version. The text says, "But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, 'May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord.' Then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord." And then verse 26, "And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people." The word of our God. Amen. Thank you, ushers. The robe mama made. It's the title of my sermon. The children's choir at my home church in Chicago, Mount Hermon Baptist Church, was no longer functioning. And so I was allowed to sing with the adult choir, the inspirational choir, when I was about 13 years old. And the inspirational choir, like many choirs, would have an annual concert. And that particular year, the choir chose special outfits for their concert. The men wore light green ruffled shirts, you know, with the ruffles going down the middle, black pants, and huge black velvet bow ties. The women wore long light green dresses. And the choir ordered a shirt for me, the smallest that they could find, but it was too big because I was short and skinny at the time. The sleeves were too long and the body of the shirt was too wide. And so my mother, a seamstress, took the shirt and said, "Don't worry, Ricky, I'll fix it." She measured my arms, my chest, and my waist, and then she altered the shirt for me, and it fit me perfectly. And because I was the smallest in the men's section, I was able to lead the group of men as we marched in for the concert with my freshly altered shirt my mother had worked on for me. And it was a great day. That's what mothers do. They try their best to take care of their children. They work to make the best out of a bad situation. Thank God for mothers. They are always looking out for their children. They are always working to make sure their children have what they need to thrive and to grow. And that memory, I had forgotten about it. My mother altering that lime green ruffled shirt for me came to me as I read the story in our text. You see, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, makes a robe for her son every year so that he can serve God at the temple. Because Hannah was a good and conscientious mother. But before we get to the story and the text, let me provide some background information about Hannah.
All right.
You remember that Hannah was one of the two wives of Elkanah from the country of Ephraim. Hannah was a favored and beloved wife, but she couldn't have children. Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, was fertile and had many children. When Elkanah walked past her, she'd get pregnant. I just wanted to see if you were listening. Hannah was disturbed by her inability to get pregnant. She would pray and ask God to bless her with a child. And to make matters worse, Peninnah, the other wife, used to taunt and mock Hannah because she wasn't able to have children. Each year when the family traveled to worship at Shiloh, the sanctuary of the Israelite tribes, Hannah would pray and pour out her soul to God. And one year when she was praying, Eli the priest noticed Hannah because she was praying without moving her lips. And so Eli thought she was drunk. So he reprimanded her. And when Hannah explained her situation, Eli the priest told her, "Go in peace and may God grant your request." Right. Now, when Hannah prayed, she prayed a special prayer. She didn't just pray for a son, but she also made a vow to God. She told God that if God would grant her request and bless her with a son, that she would give her son to the Lord all the days of his life. And well, God answers Hannah's prayer. Hannah gets pregnant and gives birth to a son who is named Samuel. And not only does Hannah get a son, Hannah keeps her vow. After the boy is weaned, when he's a small child, she takes the little boy to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and she tells Eli the priest, "This is the son I prayed for. I am keeping my vow. He shall be lent to the Lord all the days of his life." And Hannah leaves her son at the temple with Eli. Now that's incredible. A woman who is unable to have a baby finally gets pregnant. After she weans the child, she gives the baby back to the Lord. There's a lesson here. What should be our response to God's grace? Our response should be, give it back to God. That's the background. But when we get to the text, the Bible tells us, listen, but Samuel, this son, little boy, was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. This little boy is ministering before the Lord. That means he is carrying out priestly functions. And he is wearing a linen ephod, the liturgical garment worn by Israelite priests. But how does he get his ephod? How does he get his robe? His mother makes one for him each year. And the robe his mama made enables him to carry out his service to the Lord. Amen. This says a lot about Hannah. Samuel, the little boy's service is rooted in who his mother is. So the story demonstrates many things about Hannah. It demonstrates Hannah's faith. Because the Bible says, but Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod or robe. Samuel is a little boy, younger than 5 years old. He doesn't know about God. He doesn't know about faith. This is all new to him. The reason he is carrying out priestly duties is that his mother is a woman of faith. Samuel is at the temple because of his mother's faith. Hannah is a devout woman of God. She demonstrates faith when she prays to God for a child. This is not my paper. But let me just drop this off parenthetically. If you need something from God, you ought to talk to God about it. Because I tell you, prayer changes things. And prayer changes situations. So Hannah prays. She knows that her husband can't help her get pregnant. She knows that her rival, Peninnah, doesn't care. What does she do? She prays and cries out to God. Hannah also demonstrates her faith with her vow. She doesn't just want God to do something for her. She's willing to do something for God. There's a lesson there. Because sometimes our prayers are just filled with lend me, spare me, can you help me? That's all we want. We want God to do it all for us. But Hannah doesn't just want to do something for God, God to do for her. She wants to do something for God. She's willing to give her child back. And Hannah's faith is demonstrated in the fact that she keeps her vow. After she weans her son, she takes him to the house of the Lord. And that shows that she takes her vow seriously. That what she tells God, she means. Her faith in God is so powerful that she is able to give up her child. So there Samuel is, a little boy at the temple, serving God, wearing the robe his mama made for him. What a blessing. Many of us today can trace our faith to the faith of our mothers. Long before we knew about God, long before we knew about the church, our mothers were praying for us. And our mothers were teaching us about the Word of God and teaching us about the church. That's what Paul tells Timothy. In 2 Timothy, he says, I remember your honest and true faith. It was alive first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am certain that it is now alive in you also. Many of you are at Ebenezer because of a mother or a grandmother or both. Many of you are saved today not because of something you did, but because your mama prayed for you. Your mama led you to faith. Many of us are Christians because of the faith of our mothers. So it demonstrates Hannah's faith. But the story also demonstrates Hannah's sacrifice. Text says, each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. I like that. The text tells us she made a robe for her son each year. When her family would travel to Shiloh, she would bring Samuel a new robe. But what the text infers is each year Hannah would leave her son at the temple. So not only does she let him go initially when she first drops him off, but every year when she comes back to Shiloh, she is reminded of her vow to God. And so she lets him go year after year after year. And that's a sacrifice, beloved. And I'm sure that Hannah notices the growth of her son and all the physical changes he goes through each year. But she makes the sacrifice to let him go and say goodbye to him each time she visits him. So Hannah's story is a story of enduring sacrifice. She gives up the time she can spend with her son. She gives up the opportunity to watch his growth and watch him experience life. She gives up all those mothering moments that all mothers cherish, with a little boy running out in the field and playing and having fun. She doesn't get to tuck him into bed at night. She doesn't get to teach him on a daily basis like the other Jewish mothers. She doesn't even get to hold him in her arms when he gets sick and is crying at night. She lets that go year after year after year. She sacrifices a lot to keep her vow and to allow her son to serve God. So her story is a model story of a mother's sacrifice. And I tell you, and I know you know it, many mothers have sacrificed a lot for their children. And a mother will do that. I will never forget watching a video of an Asian family driving through a drive-by safari somewhere in Asia. And as the family is in the car driving through this safari, they drive near a group of lions. And the lions are just lounging on the grass under the tree. And suddenly, the daughter jumps out of the car. We aren't told that it's the daughter until after the video is over. She jumps out of the car. Apparently, there's been an argument in the car. When she jumps out, one of those lions said, "We've been waiting for one of these human fools to do something." Grabs the daughter, begins to attack her. And what does her mother do? She jumps out of the car to defend her daughter. And the lions let the daughter go and attack the mother and kill the mother. Daddy's still in the car. The daughter is saved because of the sacrifice of the mother. Now that's some sacrifice. I asked my wife after I saw, I said, "Would you do that?" She said, "Oh, I don't know if I'll do that. I might roll the window down and say, 'Come back, come back.'" That's some sacrifice. But I tell you, mothers are like that. Mothers will give up comfort. They will give up sleep. They will give up personal safety. They will give up their dreams and careers for their children. Because real mothers know the meaning of sacrifice. Because with a mother, it doesn't matter the day or the hour or the circumstance. If their children need them, mothers will be there and mothers will show up. So Hannah's story is about more than a robe. It's about a sacrifice. And then finally, and I'm done. Story demonstrates Hannah's faith. It demonstrates Hannah's sacrifice. And it demonstrates Hannah's love and support. The Bible says in verse 21, "And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons, additional sons, and 2 daughters. And then it says, "Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. And in verse 26 it says, and the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. So her son is growing and developing. And according to the text, he's growing in favor with God, and he's growing in favor with the people. But Samuel's growth is no accident. It is due in large part to his mother's love and support. Because you see, when his mama shows up each year and brings him a new robe, she sends the message to her son that his service for God is important. So she says to him, put on this new robe. In effect, I want you to continue to serve God. When she brings the new robe, she sends the message that she supports his mission and that she loves him. And she wants Samuel to know she's got his back. And she wants him to know that when she's away from him, she's thinking about him. You know how mamas are. They show up with all kinds of stuff. And you didn't even know they were coming, but they show up just to let you know, I'm thinking about you, baby, and I've got your back. So Hannah brings a little robe made with love and devotion. She wants her baby to have everything he needs to serve just like the other priests. She says, my baby's not going to be up there with those other priests without a robe. I'm going to make sure my baby's got a robe just like everybody else has a robe, even if I have to make it myself. And even though God blesses Hannah with other children, she doesn't forget about Samuel. She works to ensure that he grows in favor with God and with the people. Thank God for a mother's love and support. Mothers demonstrate love and support by being present in the lives of their children. Mothers show up. They show up. And if it's an activity, if it's a function, if the kid is in trouble, the mother will show up. And mothers demonstrate to love and support by taking what their children need to strive and to make it. For many years, my wife drove a minivan. In fact, when we came here, she was driving a minivan. I was driving a Cadillac. Some of y'all criticized me and said, why are you in a nice car? Both cars are our cars. But she wanted a minivan. She didn't want a sedan. She didn't want a fancy car. She wanted a minivan. She had three or four of them. And minivan was her vehicle to carry our children and their friends to their activities and functions. And when our kids were in college, whether in Illinois or in New York, the minivan was always on the road. She burnt out some tires and some minivans. She loaded up with food and supplies and fresh items for their rooms and their apartments. And sometimes the van would be so full she could barely squeeze into the car. She'd be off to take care of her children. She never listened to me when I'd say to her, they don't need all that. Why are you taking all of that? She'd simply tell me, Ricky, they didn't ask to come here. That's what she would say to me. They didn't ask to come here. That's love and support, isn't it? And that's what mothers do. So the robe mama made speaks volumes about motherhood. Whether it's a robe or a dress or uniform or a meal, mothers will take care of their children. This is a story about Hannah's faith. She was a great woman of prayer. She trusted in God. is a story about Hannah's sacrifice. She gives her son to the Lord. It's a story about Hannah's love and support. She shows her son that she cares for him. She doesn't let him down. He has what he needs to serve God. And so today, beloved, we honor our mothers. We honor their faith. We honor their sacrifices. We honor their love and support. And we praise God for mothers who paved the way for us and worked to set us on the right track. Mickey Guyton has a song entitled Scary Love. And part of that song says, when a baby's born, that's when a mama's born too. And when Samuel was born, a real mother was born. I'm done, but let me just say this. One of the rookies for the Detroit Lions is talking about how he used to wrestle with his mother when he was a kid and roughhouse with her. And even she would knock him to the ground. And even one day they were wrestling so that she knocked a tooth out of his mouth. Then he said, if my mother today were lined up on the field across from me, I'd go at her strong and drive her into the ground. And I said, whoa. I said, yeah. It's one thing to play around with your mother when you're a little kid and to roughhouse. But when I think about my mother and what she meant to me and what she did for me, there's no way on God's green earth that I'm going to tackle my mama and drive her into the ground. Because when you have a mother that gives you love and support, that took care of you when you were a baby, that put clothes on your back, kept food on your table, walked with you and sacrificed for you, all you want to do is thank your mother and hold her in high esteem. Thank God for our mothers. Let us love them. And let us revere them. And if they sleep in the silent land, let us honor their memory by doing what they want us to do, by living how they taught us to live, by serving how they taught us to serve. I'm done. The robe mama made. To extend the invitation to Jesus Christ. And invite you as our deacons, minister, and greeters come to receive the Lord Jesus by faith. We talked about the faith of this mother. And a lot of us in here know about our mother's faith. And perhaps you do as well. Won't you receive that faith and live that faith in your own life? If you stand with me, the invitation, Christian discipleship is extended.
Life abundantly, O God, from all to Christ.
Yes, we offer Christ.
To you, oh my brother, we
forget about supporting Women's Day. We have a special speaker, the president of the alumni chapter for the Deltas is going to be our speaker. So if you're a Delta, invite your sorors to join us. And if the Deltas are going to invite their sorors, I think the AKAs should invite theirs and the Zetas and the Sigma Gamma Rho's and what else to join us for Women's Day for a special celebration. Next Sunday, we have special guests coming. Is it, Ruth, is it Phi Delta Kappa? Yeah, the Delta Beta chapter of Phi Delta Kappa will worship with us on next Sunday. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Honor your mom and take her out and show her something special today. Till we meet again.